Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, today is a wonderful day. The stars have aligned, so to speak. Today is a day when four things are all happening at the same time. A grouping that we will probably never see again. First, our gospel reading is from Jesus' Sermon on the Plain in Luke. Second, it's Valentine's Day weekend. Third, the Winter Olympics are going on in Beijing. And fourth, the Bengals are in the Super Bowl. That is a lot going on in one weekend. And I bet you're either thinking about your Valentine's Day plans, wondering how Team USA is doing, or planning to be glued to your TV tonight cheering on the Bengals. But for now, we're here. And we have these words of Jesus, too. And at first, it might seem like his Beatitudes have nothing to do with those other three events. But as I said, the stars have aligned. And I think this is a perfect weekend to listen to what Jesus is saying here. That's because he's talking about people being blessed. But before we see how that ties into this weekend, what does it mean to be blessed? Right, what's it look like? What would it have meant for that original audience? Well, there are a few different ways that people understood the word blessed. In ancient Greek times, it was used exclusively for the gods. All right, they had a happiness that was beyond the worries and cares of mere mortals. They lived on another plane of existence. They didn't have to deal with things like diet restrictions and disease and death. Or second, the word blessed later referred to people who died, like the blessed saints. Through death, they had reached the level of the gods, and so they were beyond the cares of this earthly life. Third, the word blessed was used for those in the upper levels of society. They weren't gods and they weren't dead, but they had wealth and power that put them beyond the cares of everyday people. And finally, the word blessed was used for those who lived rightly. People who, because of their right living, had an abundance of material things. Things like close relationships, and family members, crops and riches, honor, beauty, health, all that stuff. But regardless of which definition you use, though, the one thing they all share in common is that the blessed ones were separate from everyone else. They didn't have to deal with the troubles that everybody else faced. They were somehow better than the rest of the world. And in one sense, this is how we see Olympic athletes. Right, although we know they're human like the rest of us and they make mistakes like we do, we still put them on a higher level than everybody else. I mean, the word Olympic comes from the name of Mount Olympus, where the Greek gods lived. They were literally higher than everyone else. These Olympic athletes are more athletic than the rest of us. They are the best athletes in the world. And they're competing to see who stands on the highest pedestal with the gold medal around their necks. So literally, the person who is highest off the ground is the best. We even talk about, quote, looking up to people we admire and respect. The rest of us, we mere mortals, are on ground level. We just watch their amazing feats and realize we could never do what they do. So they are the blessed ones. But of course, we don't usually go around talking about athletes as blessed, though. Instead, we tend to talk about ourselves as blessed, in the sense that we've got a lot of good stuff going on in our lives. Maybe you've heard people say, "I'm too blessed to be stressed." Or you've heard people say, "Count your blessings." Which really means, quit your complaining and look at all the good stuff you've got. Right? So typically, we use the last definition of being blessed. The one that says, those who are blessed are those who have lived rightly. Those who have an abundance of material things. So even though we'll never reach the level of being Olympic athletes, we still don't really have to deal with the problems that a lot of other people have. Like, many of us don't have to worry about where our next meal is coming from, or where we're going to sleep at night. Even the language we use can reinforce the idea that we see ourselves as better than others. Like, what do we often call people who don't have the things we have? They are the less fortunate, which implies that we are the more fortunate. But is that what being blessed is about? Just being better than others? No, of course not. Especially when Jesus is the one who defines the word. Notice again who he calls blessed in this list. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. And so on. It's important to notice here that Jesus is not talking about somebody else. He's not saying, blessed are the poor, or blessed are those who are hungry. No, he's calling the very people he is talking to blessed. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. But the people knew the common definitions of being blessed. So what Jesus was saying sounded completely backwards. Maybe he was lifting them up in order to bring down the powerful. Maybe they were going to trade spots with those who had stepped on them. Maybe now they get to oppress the oppressor. Well, that kind of mindset is what I'll call Bengals at the Super Bowl mentality. I think everybody in Ohio is cheering for the Bengals today. Especially because we are so used to them not making it this far. The last time they were in the Super Bowl was in 1989 when they faced the 49ers. And that was only the second time in their history they'd been there. The first time was in 1982 when they also faced the 49ers. And both times they lost. The team was established in 1968. So tonight is their third Super Bowl appearance in 54 years. Perhaps they'll make history tonight and win. Perhaps this perpetual underdog team will rise to the top and be able to lift that Lombardi trophy. Although that would be nice, is that what it means to be blessed? To be an underdog who dethrones those who are normally on top and take their place? Not quite. Being blessed is about being loved by God, no matter what. So imagine you were in the crowd that day when Jesus said these words. You are among those who are poor and hungry and weeping. To hear someone say that you are blessed sounds completely backwards, but it's also completely true. Right? This is what Jesus does. He turns our world right side up. By calling the people who are down and out blessed, Jesus was telling them that they are still loved and treasured by God, even if the rest of the world ignores them. And that brings us to this being Valentine's Day weekend. If you are planning to celebrate Valentine's Day with someone special, think about your relationship. By loving that other person, you are telling them that no matter what the rest of the world says about them, that you still love them. You are by their side. You are faithful to them. You treasure them. Even if everybody else looks down on them. And they are saying the same thing to you. Even when you feel down and out. Even when you are not at the top of your game. Even when you don't have people cheering for you, this other person is still there for you. They love you. And what's even better is that Jesus loves you even more than they do. That also means that if you do not have someone special to celebrate Valentine's Day with, or if you're just against the day in general, just remember that Jesus loves you. Everyone else might look down on you. You might feel alone and abandoned by others. But Jesus never abandons you. Jesus looks at you and sees you completely. Even if you are poor and hungry and weeping, even if things are not going well for you at all, even if your heart is broken, Jesus still calls you blessed. He says that you are loved and valued and treasured to him. So you don't have to be an Olympic athlete standing on a pedestal with a gold medal around your neck to be blessed. You don't even need to be the underdog team who has a chance of making history to be blessed. In fact, you don't have to do a single thing to be blessed. Instead, it is a gift given to you out of the pure love of Jesus. And all of your brokenness and frailty, your sin and your suffering, your darkness and your death, and all of the things that make you human, Jesus looks at you, smiles at you, and says, "I love you." Or in other words, blessed are you. And any day we hear that is a wonderful day. So in the name of this one who calls you blessed, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.